Would you look with me again to what we looked at last night in Deuteronomy 31? I know we just prayed, but I am believing the Lord. This thing grew on me today. It grew into a three-week seminar. And we got tonight, so that doesn't mean we're going to go too long. It just means we got to be on the right thing and stay on that track. So you're believing with me is what I'm saying. In Deuteronomy 31, we saw this is a passage and a phrase that the Lord gave not once, not twice, not three or four times. You know, if you read the Bible, you've heard this numerous times. He said, Deuteronomy 31:6, be strong and of a good courage. Fear not, nor be afraid of them, talking about the enemies that were on the land he had given them. For the Lord your God is he that goes with you. He will not fail you, nor forsake you. Verse 7, Moses called Joshua and said to him in sight of all Israel, be strong and of good courage. Now you got to watch about phrases like this. Especially if you've been around the Word, and you've been around preaching, you've heard it, and you can get to where you don't pay attention to it. And it's just like some kind of spiritual greeting. Fear not, be of good courage. Hi there. Howdy. And it really means nothing. But we, like we talked about last night, the reason the Lord led with this and the reason he emphasized it over and over is because if they did not heed this, they would not make it to the promised land. And they did not heed it. And they did not make it to the promised land because what did they do? You just read it backwards. They were weak and they were cowards. And they feared and panicked. Do you see that? And they didn't get what God had for them. So, even though he said it numerous times, now can you see why he said it so many times? Because he saw the end from the beginning and he knew this is the thing that's going to make them or break them. So then he tells Joshua in front of everybody, be strong and of good courage. For you must go with this people into the land the Lord has sworn to their fathers to give them, and you will cause them to inherit it. And this was one guy that did pay attention. Yeah. Joshua. Yeah. Hallelujah. And like we said last night, he and Caleb were literally one in a million. Those two out of 2 million. So is the majority always right? Mm-mm. Don't go with the crowd. Verse 8, he repeats it. He says, and the Lord, he it is that goes before you. He will be with you. He will not fail you. Neither will he forsake you. So he says it again. What? Fear not. And like we said, when the Lord says something to you, it's not just instruction. It's empowerment. There's no word of God without power. So when he says, fear not, there's power in those words to enable you. To resist all fear. Amen. So when you hear these words, fear not and be of good courage. Like Jeremy was saying, there should be a response. What do you say? Yes, I will. I'll be strong and I'll be of good courage. I'll be courageous. Then when he says, fear not, and don't be dismayed. What do you say? Okay. I refuse to fear. I will not fear. And I refuse to yield to being dismayed. And that's the word for being cast down, which has to do with what we call depression. Discouragement. And depression. So everybody say, I refuse to fear. I refuse to be depressed and discouraged. It is a choice. And it is not based on how we feel. Huh? You can feel lousy, cruddy, lower than a snake's belly in a wagon rut. Rougher than 40 miles of muddy road. Come on, you can feel bad. And that doesn't mean you've lost the battle. It means you're dealing with symptoms, right? And it's time to stand up and resist and say, I refuse to fear. I refuse to be depressed. No, you don't. Not in my house, you don't. Get out of here, fear. Get out of here, depression. You must resist it, and you must mean business. And the enemy is a persistent cuss. He'll try to come again. He'll try to bring it back. He'll try to do it 10 times in a day, 20 times in a day. So what do you got to do? Come on, help me out. What do you got to do? If he brings it 20 times a day, you got to resist 20 times a day. Right? You must not get tired and go, well, I just can't deal with this anymore. Well, that's being dismayed. Can you see that? And he said this again in Joshua 1 verse 5. He said, there shall not any man be able to stand before you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I'll be with you. I will not fail you nor forsake you. Be strong and of a good courage. Can you hear this too many times? No. Do you need to hear it on a regular basis?
Yes.
And receive it and believe it and be it. Be strong and of a good courage, for to this people you will divide for an inheritance the land which I swear to their fathers to give them. Only be thou strong and very courageous. Now we know just in these two verses, he's heard this four times. Just in what we just read. And this is not the whole thing. He said, don't turn to the right hand or the left that you may prosper. This book of the law will not depart out of your mouth, but you'll meditate therein day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that's written therein. Then you'll make your way prosperous. Then you'll have good success. Have not I commanded you? What? What? Be strong and of good courage. I want to hear your response to that. I want to hear. Yes, I will. I receive it. I will be strong. I will be of good courage. Amen. He went on to say, don't be afraid and don't be dismayed. Okay. I refuse to fear and I refuse to be depressed and despondent and dismayed. He said, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. Now go to Psalm 42 again. We're reviewing a little bit for those that weren't with us. Psalm 42 verse 5, we begin to talk about some practical application of this, how to do it. How to not give place to depression or fear. And in Psalm 42 verse 5, the Spirit of God through the psalmist said, why are you cast down, O my soul? Now this is a lack of joy. If you cast down, you're not up, you're down. That's depression. Just what does the word depress mean? It is pressed down. And he's saying to himself, soul, what are you doing? What's wrong with you? Why are you down? Now, if it's just normal for us to be up and down sometimes, then this doesn't make sense. You just caught me on a down day. We all have them. Huh? If you say, soul, why are you cast down? What does that mean? You're not supposed to be cast down. So, right? If you are, something's wrong. Something's off. And when he asked the question, why are you? That's you talking to yourself. It implies you do not have a justifiable answer. There is not an accept. You will not convince the Lord your God that you have good reason to be. You will not convince him. You may convince somebody else. And why are you disquieted? Talking about my soul disquieted in me. That is no peace. And like we said last night, your joy and your peace are two of your main indicators of how well you're doing spiritually. I say sometimes as a pictorial, as you go down life's road in your faith mobile, there's two gauges you need to keep an eye on. The joy gauge and the peace gauge. If you look at the joy gauge and it's hovering over there around E, and you ain't laughed and smiled in days, honey child, you better change something, right? Elsewise, it won't be long. How many know on your car, your truck, if it hovers around E, you better do something. Is that right? You better get something in the tank. And that's right, in your faith mobile, because if you don't, it's going to sputter, 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 and leave you on the roadside of despair. Oh, but when your joy is full, and you got the peace that passes understanding, you can put the pedal down, and there's no hill you can't soar over. Oh, that'll preach. That'll preach. Hoo-hoo. He said, I shall yet praise him for the help of his countenance. And so we said, you talk to yourself. You challenge yourself. You remind yourself that there is no justifiable reason. You do not have one for going around moping, being down. It's unacceptable. Right? You got to get back your joy and you got to get back your peace. You do that by hoping in God. Hope means you got a future. You're expecting something good. Well, if I'm even though I'm in some bad stuff at the moment, if I'm expecting to come out and I'm expecting great things to happen, then I don't have to be depressed today. And what you do, what you finish it up with is praise. Praise. I will praise him, he said. So these are practical things. This is how he did it. We know David, for one, he encouraged himself. Right? Didn't wait for somebody else to do it. You better not wait for somebody else to do it. Now go with me, if you would, to 1 Thessalonians in the New Testament. 1 Thessalonians. And the 5th chapter. We're continuing with this same thought. There are things we must do. Yes. 1 Thessalonians 5:16. The Spirit of God goes through a list here. Brief statements that cover a lot of ground, but they are instructions and they are commands. And of course, God's commands are empowerments. He said, rejoice evermore. Or all the time, always. Pray without ceasing. That's all the time. In everything, give thanks. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Now, Ephesians 5 said giving thanks always. So it's the same idea all the time. Then he said, despise not prophet, quench not the spirit. Excuse me, quench not the spirit. Now these go together. There are certain things you and I must do to stay free from fear and depression and defeat. It's not optional. And these are some of them. You have to rejoice. Every day, morning, noon, and night. Now you hear people, immediately people look at you and go, you can't do that. You can't do that. You must pray without ceasing. Now, that doesn't mean every breath you're praying a prayer, but there's never a day you don't pray. Huh? Through the day, through the night, multiple times. You do not have to kneel and fold your hands to pray, and it doesn't have to take 30 minutes, right? But you should be, how many think you ought to be talking to God? And you ought to be listening. You ought to be communing with the Holy Spirit. Every day? Every day? That's what he's saying. And giving thanks, when? When? All the time? Can you see that? Remember what the psalmist said? I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall... Really? But what does that mean? Now see, Hebrews talks about that we're to offer up the sacrifice of praise continually. That's the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. Do you hear these words? All the time. Always. Evermore. Without ceasing. Continually. What does that mean? At least every Sunday morning. What? Come on, help me out now.
Every day.
This is a breakthrough miracle answer, my brother, sister. I'm not joking. What we're talking about right now, if we make the change that we're looking at, it will absolutely shut the door to fear and depression.
Yes, amen.
Because if you are always praising God and thanking God, always praying and communing with God, there's no room. I said there's no room. There's no place for the fear and depression. But when you stop and you go hours and don't do this, there's a vacuum. And there's a space and a place and an opportunity for the enemy to bring in something else. Oh, come on, can you see this? Fear, doubt, depression. These things are prevalent even in church-going people's lives because of not doing this. The Lord does not tell us, give thanks all the time, rejoice all the time. He doesn't tell us to do that because he needs the praise to stay up. He's not insecure at all. He's worthy of it. He deserves it. It's just right. But he's telling us for our sake. Come on, can you see this? Your sake and my sake, because he knows that's the only way to keep the door closed to the adversary, to the evil one. Are y'all okay? Rejoice. What does Philippians say? Rejoice in the Lord always and again. I said, rejoice. What does that mean? That means you wake up and start rejoicing. That means you rejoice in the bathroom when you're getting ready. That means you rejoice at breakfast. You rejoice getting dressed. You rejoice on the way to work. Huh? Now, as soon as you say that, the enemy hates this. Ooh, he hates this. He knows you will absolutely block him out if you do this. And so he will immediately come and say, you can't do that. That's not realistic. You got to live. You got to work. You think the Lord didn't know that? Some years ago, I had a lady in Brother Hagin's healing school that we're ministering to. And she had been in and out of institutions for years. And it was in a bad way. And she had come there to get help because The drugs didn't help her. The other didn't help her. All the counseling, and she was in bad shape. And I'm a young minister. I didn't know exactly what to do. But I'd been praying that morning and thanking God. And sure enough, I ministered one-on-one to her. And the Lord quickened to me this passage we read, our text in Joshua. This book of the law will not depart out of your mouth, but you'll meditate in it. Huh? Night and day, day and night, that you may observe to do. And I felt like the Lord quickened that word to me for her. I gave her that word. She looked at me bewildered. She said, "You can't do that." She just said what people thought. You can't meditate on the Word of God night and day. You can't do that. Now, first of all, you reckon God didn't know that we couldn't do it? And I mean, right up out of my spirit, I didn't think it. Right up out of my spirit, I said, "Sister, you're already meditating on something night and day." This is not an issue whether you can meditate on something. And I said, and obviously, it's been the wrong thing. Because it's tormenting you. Right? It's destroying your life. He's not talking about can you think on something. You're thinking on something all the time. All he's saying is don't think on that. Think on this. Right? And that's what he said, you know, in Philippians. Whatever things are true. Honest, just, pure, lovely, virtuous, good report. Think on these. Think on these things. And the peace of God, hallelujah, is going to keep you. You'll stay in peace. Didn't the prophet say, "Thou will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed"? Well, see, what is it? Mind stayed? That means you're doing it all the time. Can you see that? Oh, somebody say, thank God. Thank God. Praise God. Praise God. Glory to God. Glory to God. Go to Psalm 50, if you would. Without ceasing. Continually. Always. We can do it. It's a choice. All you got to do is, do it for a few days and a few weeks, and it's just part of your life now. It's normal. I remember Brother John Osteen years ago. This is Brother Joel's father of the great church in Houston. He was doing some business in a big building, and he said he got in this elevator, and these guys were in there smoking cigars and just cussing. And he endured it for a few minutes. Then he said, "Glory to God. Praise God. Glory to God. Hallelujah." He said they just stopped, about dropped their cigar. He said, "Hey, I demand equal time. You going to curse him? I'm going to praise him." And, you know, people may hear us and they say, well, you know, y'all always say, "Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah." That's just a habit y'all have. Yeah? And it's a good one, too. It's better than the one you got if you don't have it. It's actually obeying the word. Isn't it? It's just doing what the scripture told us to do. Hallelujah. In Psalm 50, notice in verse 23, "Whoever offers praise," the Lord said, "glorifies me. And to him that orders his conversation aright, will I show the salvation of God." Listen to the NIV. There's a phrase here that's, the King James is a little bit obscure. He said, "He who sacrifices thank offerings," this is the NIV, "honors me." Do you want to honor God? Yes. Well, the verse we read from the New Testament, he said, this is the will of God, right? Yes. That you give thanks all the time. Right. Do you want to be in the will of God? Yes. Then all you got to do is just frequently say, "Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord." Thank you, Lord. And you watch. If you start going, "Lord, you are so good to me. Thank you for being so good to me. Things will happen. And then you go, God, you are so good. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Guess what? More good stuff is going to happen. It's a wonderful cycle that just goes up and up and up. Until you are thanking God about something great and good all the time. And then you're just thanking God by faith about what's going to happen in the future. And while you're thanking God, you're not being depressed. There's no room for it. You're not being scared. You get tempted to be scared about something. And you got some symptoms of fear. One of the greatest things you can do is go, thank you, Lord, for taking care of this. Thank you, Lord, for helping us out. And what you can see is that's exactly what he's saying in this verse here. He who sacrifices thank offerings honors me, and he prepares the way so that I may show him the salvation of God. You're thanking and praising God gives him access to show you the path out. The path of salvation. Out of the issue and problem into total victory and deliverance. Why? Because it's faith. Why would you be thanking God for victory and all you can feel is the problem? That's faith, my brother, sister. That's strong faith. When you don't even know yet how you could get out of it, but you just go ahead right now and start saying, thank you, Lord. Thank you. Always take care of me. You always have. You always will. We will have everything we need. I'm thanking you for it right now. I just know something great is already working. Something good is already happening. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. While you are doing that, he said, it prepares the way so I can show him, the man or woman doing the thanksgiving, the salvation of God. Listen to the Amplified. He also brings an offering of praise and thanksgiving, honors and glorifies me, and he who orders his way aright. And to him I will demonstrate the salvation of God. And of course, salvation is the big word. It includes everything. Healing, deliverance, provision, protection, all of it. Psalm 40, along this same line, Psalm 40 verse 16 says, let all those that seek thee rejoice and be glad in thee, and let such as love thy salvation. Now, do you love being saved? Yes. Huh? Do you love being saved not only from hell, but being saved from every stinking disease? Do you love being saved from debt and lack? Do you love being... Yeah. Well, then those that love his salvation, let them say, continually, the Lord be magnified. Now, see, that's instead of the problem being magnified. Because while you're magnifying the Lord, the enemy cannot get you to talk about and think about how bad the problem is. And so he can't develop and cultivate that fear in you. And if he can't do that, he can't get you all down and discouraged. So around your house, if we snuck in the back door, what might we hear at your house? Cussing? Cussing and fussing? Huh? Crying and feeling sorry for yourself? Woe is me? Huh? How bad it is. How bad it is. How bad it is. How terribly, truly awful it is. You watch too much news? And you will. You watch nonstop news night and day. You hear too much of it, it'll start coming out of your mouth. How bad it is, how awful it is, what a mess things are in. Huh? Well, look, the whole world's talking like that. God needs somebody that'll talk some faith. Somebody that'll believe that he actually heard their prayer and something's happening instead of it all going down the drain. You are the salt of the earth. You're the light of the earth. You and I, we're preventing this thing from going rotten. We are. Because once we're out of here, hey, it's going to go bad quick. You think it's bad now. But if we came in, slipped in the back door. How many know we should not be there too long? We should not be there very long until we hear something like, thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord.
I mentioned that we're believing for our next aircraft. And God, if I had the time and it was right, we have had miracles. Mike, am I telling the truth? We have had some miracles on this deal. One of the miracles was that Mike and I went to maybe the best training place in the world to do training. And, you know, we're not professionals. We don't do this all the time. And, oh, man, it was challenging. Whew. And I won't go into all the details, but the Lord had to help us. And he did. I said he did. And it took over 2 months. And our test was 12 hours long. We started at 12:30 noon, and we walked out of that building at midnight.
Wow.
And but when we finished, and we saw both of us had passed, and we're sitting there, and they're filling out the paperwork. I said, sir, this is our instructor. This guy's he's what they call a SME, subject matter expert. Guy's one of the best in the world. I said, sir, you put us all on our paperwork, what we do. I said, would it be all right if we just thanked God? And this guy, he's a veteran from multiple wars. He's seen everything. He's done everything. He put his pen down. He said, yeah, that'd be all right. And so, boy, me and Mike put our hands up. He said, oh, thank God. Thank God. We started crying. Tears come out. We did. I didn't care who was there. I didn't care. I said, thank you, Father. Thank you for hearing our prayers. Thank you so much for helping us. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. When I got through, you know, I looked at him and remembered he was there. And he looked at us. He said, God answered your prayers. I said, yes, sir. Yes, he did. Yes, he did. We don't want to try to cram something down somebody's throat. But this is us. Is that right? Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. You get me, you get that. Is that right? It's a package deal, right? And don't ask me, well, you know, tamp it down. You can't say that here. Well, then I can't be there. Either that or you need to warm up to the idea. Without ceasing, always, evermore, continually. Can you say amen?
Amen?
And can you see what we're talking about? If that is occupying you, there's no room for the depression. There's no room for the fear. Because what has to happen, the enemy has to feed you fear over a length of time to get you in a completely down, panicky situation. That's not just because a bad thought crossed your mind. You actually have to entertain it and sit there and let it sit on you. Go to Isaiah, if you would. I noticed we sang this in the beginning of the service. Go to Isaiah 61. Isaiah 61 in the first verse. Jesus quoted this as it's recorded in the Gospels and preached from it. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me. Does that make you depressed? Never. Huh? No, sir, no, ma'am. Jesus was anointed with the oil of joy and gladness above his brethren. Because the Lord has anointed me to preach or proclaim good news to the meek. He sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, proclaim liberty to the captives, opening of the prison to them that are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord and day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all those that mourn. Does this sound like joy and peace?
Yes.
It is. And when God's manifesting, that's what you got. Joy and peace. And that's a big part of what makes heaven heaven. Huh? Heaven is full measure joy. Huh? And full measure peace. But you and I can have some days of heaven right here on the earth. And that is days of joy. Days of peace. Oh, hallelujah. And you, it's not separate from what we do and our choices. We need to choose no matter how we feel, how it looks. I will bless the Lord at all times. I'm preaching to somebody. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise will continually be in my mouth. Woo! Hey! You see what's happening? Depression had to leave the room. It literally. You get full of joy. You get full of the Spirit of God. The other has to leave. It can't stay. Darkness can't remain in the light. Has to leave. Whew. The next verse is to appoint to them that mourn in Zion, to give them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. Do you see this? That's why you can't just cure depression with drugs. Because the drug can't reach the spirit. You know, it can dull you down where you're not as aware, but that doesn't make you free. The garment of praise. The NIV says it like this, a garment of praise instead of a spirit of despair. Amplified says, oil of joy instead of mourning. That's the anointing. The garment of praise instead of a heavy, burdened, failing spirit. Heavy. Well, a garment, and other translations bring out cloak. A garment is something you put on or you put off.
Yeah.
Right?
Yes.
Yeah. And here he says about to appoint the garment of praise instead of the spirit of heaviness. You don't have to let the enemy put a cloak of depression on you and you just act like you can't do anything about it. Now this is sad, but millions, even of church-going people, that's what's happening. The enemy threw a spirit of heaviness on them. And they don't even know what had happened. They don't know that it has spiritual origin. They don't even realize they're supposed to resist it, or if they heard it, they didn't do it and they forgot about it. And they think they are helpless victim to this.
Right.
When demons are actually afraid of you.
Right.
You find out who you are in Christ and who lives inside you, the greater one. And the power in the name of Jesus. That's why when you legitimately stand up and resist them, there's no struggle. They run away. They can't deal with that. So you and I must throw it off. And literally, you can feel heaviness. And if you sit around and think about the wrong thing and just give in to it, it gets heavier and heavier. And you get weaker and weaker. Just like the joy of the Lord is your strength. Well, the depression and heaviness of the enemy is your weakness. The more depressed you get, the weaker you get. And then that's how people get to the place where they just feel absolutely hopeless. And people get suicidal. Like, why go on?
Right.
There's no hope. I got nothing to look forward to. And these are lies. Lies, lies, lies. You can throw it off. You can resist it. You can say, no. Get off of me. Get out of here. I resist you. In Jesus' name. And if you mean business, it'll leave. It has to. It's got no choice. Now, I'm not saying it'll never try to come back, because the enemy is a persistent cuss. But if it does, what do? Same thing you did. First time, if it worked then, it'll work again. Said out loud, the joy of the Lord is my strength. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You believing with me? Let me give you three connections to depression. I'm not saying this is the all-inclusive list. It's three big ones, though, for sure. We've already talked about a couple of them, but one is fear depression. That's why he said, don't fear, and what? And don't be dismayed. The enemy, he practices what I call the pile-up technique. And he especially watches and waits till you're weak. He's like a predator in that regard, like a roaring lion. They look for the weak, the injured, because that's, you know, the best time to pile it on. And what he wants to do is, when you're weak, then pile this on, and about time you're taken aback with that, here's something else.
Yeah.
And then you're going, oh, what in the world? And here's something else.
Yeah.
Huh? What he wants you to do is go, God, this is too much. I can't deal with this. You ever heard somebody? I can't do. Never let those words come out of your mouth. Are y'all with me? Because the Bible said there is no temptation. 1 Corinthians, 10:13? There's no temptation, no trial that's happened to you except that it's common to man. The devil will say, nobody knows what you're going through. That's a lie.
Yeah, it is.
Everybody's dealing with similar things.
Oh, yes.
That's not true.
Yes.
You're not experiencing something that nobody's ever experienced.
Yes.
Not true, not true. But he will, with the temptation, make a way of escape that you may be able to bear it. He won't allow you to be tempted or tested above what you're able to resist and come out of. Did you hear that? God won't allow it. So if it's something you're having to deal with, there is no way that it's too big and too much for you to deal with. God would not have allowed that. So if it shows up in your life, you can beat it. Yeah. With his help and his, yeah. Just the fact that it's there tells you you can win. You can beat it. You can overcome. But do not open your mouth and say it's too much. It's just too big. It's just too hard. That's fear depression. Another one is fatigue depression. It goes with that. And that's, you know, something goes on longer than you had hoped that it would. And you get tired. And if you stop thanking God, stop praising God, start sitting around feeling sorry for yourself, then next thing you know, thoughts like will be coming, I just can't go on. I just can't keep doing this. I just cannot. Well, again, you're not believing the word. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. There is no such thing as it really being as a legitimate situation where it is just too much for you to handle with God's help. There is no such thing. Has not happened, is not going to happen. God won't allow it. You need to say, I'm an overcomer. I'm an overcomer. And he always causes me to triumph. Do you see a connection? I'm always praising God. I'm always giving thanks. I'm always praying. And I'm always winning. You just don't get tired of winning. Do you? Now, Lord, help me with this next part. I need to condense this. The next one is frustration depression. And there's a lot to say about that. But part of that is the result of comparison. I said comparison. A lot of people have gotten depressed because they did what the scripture told us not to do. They measured themselves by others. Are y'all okay? Look, I'll read 2 Corinthians to you. 2 Corinthians 10:12 says, we dare not. That's a strong word. We dare not make ourselves of the number or compare ourselves with some that commend themselves, but they measuring themselves by themselves and comparing themselves among themselves, that's a lot of themselves, are not wise. One translation says they are stupid. Another one said they are not intelligent. What? What's not intelligent? What's stupid? Measuring yourself in a situation by someone else. Now, you've probably done this many times. But it's also why you experience fear and depression. David is an example of overcoming fear and not yielding to depression. And the example of when he faced Goliath is just amazing. Because the whole army is petrified of this guy Goliath. I mean, this has been going on, I don't know, for weeks, for how long, that this 9-10 foot behemoth comes out and talked about their mama. He did cuss their God. I mean, he said, I dare you. Is there not one man among you, you yellow-bellied coward bunch? You blankety blank, blankety blank, blank. And I mean, they took it. They took it because they were still so scared. They were all so scared. David. What, in his late teens? Nothing to indicate he was a massive big man. He just had faith and courage. But he said, is somebody going to do something about this? Made his brothers mad. They're like, would you get back home to this sheep, boy? You don't know. He said, look. And then he heard there's a reward. There's a reward. Never have to pay taxes again. And get to marry the king's daughter. And she's a looker. He said, that sounds good to me. He said, tell me again. What do I get? What do I get? You know the story. But the reason why, even when he saw this giant, he'd seen him from a distance, then he got to see him close up. Why didn't David, why wasn't he overwhelmed with fear like everybody else there? Why? He did not compare himself to the giant.
Right. That's good.
He did not measure himself by the giant. Oh, come on, are you with me or not? He did not do that. They're all measuring themselves by looking at him. Why did all of those folks, those Israelites, die out in the wilderness? Because they said, we saw the giants and we're like grasshoppers in their eyes. See, they are measuring themselves against that. But what did David do? He said, you uncircumcised, no covenant, nobody, you have defied the living God. What's he doing? He's comparing him to the Almighty, and he is nothing in front of the Almighty. The Almighty can kill him with a pebble. A pebble and a teenager slingshot. Just kind of showing you he didn't have to lift his little finger to take out this giant. Oh, because he did not compare himself.
Right, that's good.
So he didn't get filled with fear, and he didn't wind up all depressed and dejected because he refused to measure himself by the giant. Now go to Genesis. Can you take a little more? Go to Genesis. Because we begin to get into something that's, it's sneaky. It's the way the enemy is with this. The third chapter of Genesis. Actually, it's the fourth chapter, excuse me. Fourth chapter. This is the very beginning of human beings on the planet. God's dealing with men. Adam knew Eve, verse 1, conceived, had Cain, bare his brother Abel. In the process of time, Cain brought of the fruit of the ground an offering to the Lord. Abel he brought of the firstlings of his flock and the fat thereof. And the Lord had respect to Abel and his offering, but to Cain and his offering he did not have respect. Now notice the result. What happened with Cain? Mentions two things. He became very wroth. He went into a rage. But it was coupled with depression. His countenance fell. And other translations bring that out. He was discouraged and dismayed. And why? In light of what we just got through talking about. Huh? He compared himself to what? Abel. God did not compare him to Abel.
Right,
are y'all listening? And he doesn't. And parents, nor should you. Why can't you be more like your brother? Never say it. Are y'all with me? Never say it. Why can't you be more like your sister? See, you're trying to get them to do what we're saying you must never do. Compare yourself with them to see how well you're doing. There's only two ways that can go. When you compare yourself with somebody else, you'll either decide you're superior. And be haughty and prideful about it. Or you decide you're inferior and be depressed over it. Which is why you're not intelligent and not wise and even stupid if you do it. May not be a person in the house that hasn't done it. But stop it. Tell yourself, say, stop it. Stop it. No more comparing yourself with anybody else. Period. Why? Because there's no one else exactly like you. There is not. There is not, and there's not going to be. How do you compare two different things? Huh? It's like comparing a Corvette and a dump truck. You're sitting in a dump truck. I mean, you're sitting in a Corvette. It's not worth anything. You can't haul anything with it. I mean, it's useless. No, it ain't. No, it ain't. Try taking the curve fast in that dump truck. Huh? So what's the solution? Realize they're two different things. Right? Two completely different designs, different graces. You're being foolish if you try to compare them. What did the Lord say to Cain? The Lord said to Cain, now notice this sounds like what we saw in Psalms. Why are you mad? What's the obvious answer? You do not have a justifiable reason to be mad. But he is. And why are you down? Why is your countenance fallen? Why? You know what the psalmist said? Oh my soul, why are you? And we got to remind ourselves, you do not have a justifiable reason. The devil will tell you you do. What's the devil already doing with him? Yeah, look at him. Goody, goody, Abel. He just did that to make you look bad. Huh? Yeah. Pull out that blue ribbon sheep, Fluffy. Roll up here with that. How do you compete with that? You don't. I said you don't. You don't. You don't. Why? Because that's him. And you're you. Notice what the Lord is saying to him. Why are you wroth? Why is your countenance fallen? If you do well, shall you not be accepted? Is he telling him he can make an adjustment? He can get this fixed. Yeah, he is. This has nothing to do with his brother. This is you comparing yourself with you.
Yeah.
Your call. Your grace. If the Lord didn't accept Cain's offering, he had good reason not to. You can be sure of that. It was not Cain's best. His heart wasn't right. The effort wasn't right. So the Lord didn't accept it. But that's not, that has nothing to do with Abel. It wouldn't have been any different if Abel had given a lousy offering. Neither one of them would have been accepted. Come on, can you see this? God's not comparing them with each other. He didn't do it. He won't do it. But the devil did. And he rode Cain about this night and day, and he didn't stop yielding to that fury and that anger and that rage and that depression. He would swing from being screaming mad to being suicidal depressed. He'd swing from one to the other, and finally, you do that long enough, you'll be moved to action. And the enemy convinced him that the only thing holding him back from being accepted was his brother.
Wow.
And in a fit of rage, he killed him. And it had, his brother had nothing to do with his failure. Lies. Somebody said out loud,
I refuse
to compare myself.
Measure myself
by anybody else. Go to 1 Corinthians 3. I'm thinking about starting to close. But we're just here. This is the last night, right? And 1 Corinthians 3. So much to say about this. But some more insight into why it is foolish to compare yourself with anybody else. 1 Corinthians 3, he talked about planting and watering and God giving the increase. That we're, verse 9, we're God's husbandry, we're God's building. Verse 12, now if any man build upon this foundation, gold, silver, precious stones, or wood, hay, and stubble, every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it. Because it'll be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. And we won't know this side of that day. We won't know, because we just know in part. Understand in part. If any man's work abide which he has built thereupon, he'll receive a reward. If any man's work shall be burned, he will suffer loss. But he himself will be saved, yet so as by fire. This is not a test to see if you're saved or not. We're saved by the grace of what the Lord has done.
Yes.
These are our works. This is tested to see who will receive reward. From what? And how much? You can only see on the outward appearance. And it may look to you like somebody else is just leaving you in the weeds. Do you know what I mean by that?
Yes.
And see, the enemy feeds this kind of stuff all the time, because he'll bring thoughts and feelings, you know, compared to what they're doing. You ain't left the driveway. You know? Right? Compare? You know? But see, again, you're listening to a comparison, you with somebody else. And why is it so foolish? Because you have no idea the caliber of their work. It'll take God trying it by fire on that day. And you don't know the caliber of your work. You don't see it all in this lifetime. You don't know. If, you know, they might have, you know, the biggest thing around and the biggest numbers, but you don't know how much of it they did in the spirit or how much they did in the flesh. And when the fire hits it, whoosh, there might be three pieces left. You don't know. And it's not for me to judge. It's not for you to judge. And you don't know somebody you've never heard of might have obeyed God completely and prayed everything he told them to pray and believed everything he told them to believe. And you don't know what word you shared with somebody or helped that nobody knew about, but it actually affected four generations.
Wow. Yeah.
It affected somebody, that affected their child, you don't know where this is going. You don't know. We just have to trust God. Right? And instead of comparing ourselves with somebody else, who do we compare ourselves to? We compare ourselves with ourselves. What has God given us? Am I doing everything I can with what He gave me? Am I doing everything? That's all anybody can do is walk in all the light you got. That's all anybody can do, right?
Yes.
Using what you got.
Yes.
The Lord gave me three things years ago when I was in Bible school. Got time for another story?
Yes.
We had so little money. But we invited, finally, we were able to invite some of our fellow students over to our tiny little apartment. And Phyllis is a good cook, my wife, and she cooked some things, and we're just a couple of months into Bible school, and somebody came up with what they thought was a hard Bible question, and we talked about it, kicked it around for 3 hours, and we all agreed it was a difficult passage. What are you laughing already about? Everybody went home. I'm laying in bed trying to go to sleep. And the Lord spoke to my heart. He said, would you like to understand that passage? I said, yeah. He said, well, now you're further from it than you've ever been. I thought, huh? He said, all y'all discussed was what you didn't know. And that is not how revelation comes. Remember, what did we agree on? It's difficult. Hard. And he gave me these three things. He said, don't think about, listen to, talk about what you don't know. What you don't have, or what you can't do. Don't talk about it. Don't think about it. Did I lose somebody? Huh? The scripture says, in his light, we see light. Being unthankful, Romans 1 says, darkens the heart. And you start with the thanksgiving. Even if you don't have a clue, the answer to what you're looking at, you got to start somewhere with what you know. And what you can come back and go, I'm saved. I'm saved. My name is in the Lamb's Book of Life. Come on, you see what I'm talking about? And start thanking God. Yes. Remember we read in the Psalms, that gives him a right to get you on the path. Yes. Oh, come on, can you see this? Yes. To the path. And if you want to see more, you need to talk about what you know, not what you don't know. Because meditating on what you don't have, what does that lead? Unthankfulness, ungratefulness, darkness. Well, other people have it. Why can't I have it? Unthankful. Huh? You want to thank God for what you have. Amen. And then by faith, thank him for showing you more. Thank you for giving you more. And you stay out of depression. You stay out of feeling down and being down. And I could go another hour, but you better stand up. Stand up. Stand up. Lift your hands. Let's pray in the Spirit just a bit. Oh, great Father. Oh, mighty God. Good, good Father. Good, good God. I worship you. I adore you. I bless you. I praise you. Oh, Sonde Kalidi. Yenje Fina Marok Krosto. Ein Krihiste Chana. Na Chana. Delamieko, di fe crames divina. Oh, shalevibie gegeste chutafake. Mazin delan confenon plipiana metichu. Oh, fe pridie de judica. Judica. De judica. Nesa la judica. Infe manebe brinis. Ostola cove ricike, yerike, nastike, jamayerike, amelos duchiru, jelave, kileba, sotokovi, barobuno, naimayende, gishishelo, mambe bifi, kaine. Listen just a moment here. Close your eyes. Don't focus on me. Focus on the good Lord. The Lord's purpose in these things last night and tonight is for all of us to get completely free from all fear and all depression and all heaviness. And not just get free, but stay free. I said stay free. Stay free tomorrow, next week, next month, rest of the year. Rest of your life. But there needs to be some repentance. So, hakelokste. Say, not to put anybody on the spot, but just say it out loud. We're saying it with them. Say, Father God.
Father God.
I repent
for blaming other people,
focusing on them,
comparing myself with them.
I judge that.
That's wrong.
Wrong.
I repent.
And if they have wronged me,
I've made mistakes too.
I forgive them.
I release it.
They owe me nothing.
No apology.
No explanation.
No restitution.
They owe me nothing.
And I receive
complete forgiveness
and washing
by the blood of the Lamb.
Oh, hallelujah.
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 Thank you, Lord.
Now, just keep your eyes closed just a little bit more here. There are some, all of us have yielded to some of this in different times of our life. So not throwing any stones. But there's some that's yielded to it more than others. There's some that have just yielded to it and gone and gotten to bed and laid down and just told people they couldn't do anything for days. And what they don't realize is, like we said last night, these dark thoughts and feelings, they come from dark spirits. Wrong spirits. And if people could have their eyes opened and see what they're wallowing around in the bed with, in this self-pity and this depression, they would probably throw up and go take 5 showers. You don't have to do this. But you got to mean business. The enemy knows if you want it, because there's a certain amount of fleshiness, just yielding into it and abandoning yourself to it. It's a little bit of a feel-good flesh thing, even though it's so awful. And, of course, it gets you out of work, gets you out of having to deal with things. If you want to be free, you got to change that. So right now, say it out loud. Every evil spirit,
every spirit of fear,
every spirit of heaviness
and depression,
I don't want you.
Leave me
in Jesus' name.
You have no place
in my life,
my mind,
my body,
my goings.
No place
in Jesus' name.
Hallelujah. Now lift up your hands.
Lift up your praise.
Lift up your thanks.
I will bless the Lord at all times.
Hallelujah.
This ministry has been brought to you today, free of charge, by the partners of More Life Ministries and Faith Life Church. If you would like to help send this word to others at no charge, you can become a word sender today. For more information, visit our website at morelife.org.